You are. It might also be P-O-O-R, but I enjoy it. And I presented to Joshua an idea to get his blessing, and he gave it. So starting in October, I would like to invite up to 7 of you, anymore we won't have room in the garage, to come and to paint with me, and I will teach you about pour painting. If you know nothing about painting, you can come and you will enjoy it. I promise we will have a blast. If you already know how to paint, you don't necessarily have to do what I'll be demonstrating that particular time, but you can bring your own stuff and paint. And this group will meet twice a month throughout the entire winter. And we'll probably stop in the spring, but it will be nice to be able to just paint together for an hour or so and to be able to talk. And I really have hopes that it might be a way to show hospitality to some of our friends who could enjoy the fellowship of just a little painting community. So I have a sign-up sheet. I don't have any room for any more than 7. And I apologize to those of you who are working because I want everybody to be able to come. But we're going to have to use our garage when Karen has her car at work. That means we're going to meet the first and third Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And if you're working and can't make it, I am very sorry. And if you really want to do it, just get with me. We'll come up with a time and we'll do it together. So I would love for you to sign up for that. We'll have the sign-up sheet. It's just a lot of fun. So bow with me in prayer as we begin to look at the scriptures. And the two people that should have been most obvious for us to mention are Joshua and Kia. I'm here because Joshua has been sick all week long. He kept thinking he would get better and just finally had to surrender and call it quits. And Kia is with her family. And you'll remember that her grandfather has passed away and she was very close to him. And so she's going over to enjoy being with her family, but also to be a comfort to them while they mourn the loss of Kia's grandfather. So, if you will bow with me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for this church, this community, and we are so very thankful that we join worldwide with brothers and sisters. Thank you for Jerry reminding us of the church in Ukraine and the church that's in Russia. And Father, everywhere your people are, we pray for a measure of your grace. And we want to ask a blessing upon Joshua as he gets well, on Kia as she travels and spends time with her family and grieves the passing of her grandfather. Father, bless your word this morning. Open our hearts. And we ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. And all of us say, amen. Amen. So we are on the internet. That camera's pointed this direction. You don't have to point it everywhere, Paul, but we have about 300 or 400 people meeting together right now for worship. If you're on the internet, that's who's here. If you're in this room and looking around and thinking you don't see 300 or 400 people, you're not looking close enough. Michael Coist wrote about prayer. And he said, Jesus says to go by yourself and get in your closet and pray to God. And Coyce said, I can't do it. I can go in the closet and I can pray, but every time I go in the closet, I am bringing voices with me. The voices of my parents, the voices of my grandparents, the voices of people who taught me when I was in school, the voices of people who were in my church, voices, voices, voices. And that's what we all have. If you've been in the Sunday morning class, the person who has been teaching that class has been calling those voices narrators. He says we have a lot of narrators in us telling us about life, about how we should live, how we ought to feel, the things that we should do. And those voices are sometimes very reliable narrators. We owe a lot to the people who have gone before us and a lot to our families. And sometimes those narrators are not reliable at all. So I want to point you to a place in the Old Testament where a man had a very unreliable narrator. And I want to point you to the way God solved his problem. And I think it's the way that will solve ours. And right now, as the Reds are no longer in the river, as some of our company that has been here all summer starts to leave, now would be the perfect time for this one spiritual discipline to be ours. Would you stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? Just a quick reminder, you're going to hear the name Ahab and the name Jezebel, possibly, according to Scripture, the absolute worst king Israel has ever had, and without a doubt, the worst queen Israel has ever had, so bad that we still use the term Jezebel today. Most people here did not name their children Jezebel, and there was a reason. And Elijah, of course, is a prophet, the man of God. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely." Thank you for pointing out, Jerry, how much the gods dealt severely in times past. "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Please be seated. Whoa, there's a good prayer. "I've had it. That's it. I'm through. God, I want to die." Elijah has a narrator with him. And in our Bible class, we talk about all these narrators, all these voices that are speaking to us about life. And the person who's teaching that class hasn't mentioned yet this narrator. And I think it's one of the biggest one. Every one of us has within us a religious narrator. There are voices within us that tell us how Christians ought to think, how Christians ought to feel, what Christians ought to do and what Christians ought to say. There are those voices inside you. Some of them very reliable. We need those voices. Some of them not reliable. Elijah winds up in the desert and prays a sincere, honest prayer to God, a prayer that comes from his narrator who says, "Elijah, the only way you can be a good prophet is to do better than your ancestors. You have to do better than your dad did, and you got to do better than your grandfather did." That voice is in him so strong that he sits down and says, "God, I'm just here to die. I just came to pray that you would kill me. Before this worship service is over, just take me. Let me just fall over." That's an unreliable narrator. Because Elijah is praying that God kill him. Do you remember why? We just read it in the scriptures. Why Elijah is praying that God kill him? Because, do what? Because Jezebel is going to do it. Here's a man running for his life and then praying to God, "God, I just want to die." If you wanted to die, you could have just stayed where you were. The person in power was going to take care of your problem. So Elijah thinks he's praying a sincere prayer to God. He's praying out of that religious narrator that's saying, here's how you were supposed to live. You didn't succeed. That's it. Your life is over. And very thankfully, God, who really knows our hearts, knows that Elijah's prayer is a lie. And sometimes you and I pray things that are lies. We don't know it. We don't do it on purpose. But they come from these voices within us that are telling us, okay, here's how it's happened to you. You better pray to God. And we can actually pray a lie like Elijah. He does not want to die. He has traveled an entire day through the desert because he wants to stay alive. And then prays to God, just kill me. It's not an honest prayer. And so God comes down to Elijah and tells Elijah what he needs to do. Elijah, God says, you are being so inefficient by being out here in the desert. You need to get back to Israel. You have to fight Ahab and you have to fight Jezebel with everything you've got, because so far you haven't been doing a great job. And that's not what God said. I'm hoping that most of you know the story. That's not even remotely what God said. God says, you know, Elijah, you just haven't been inefficient enough. You traveled one day in the desert. That's pretty good. That's a start. I want you to travel a month and 10 days into the desert by yourself, alone. The desert that, if I understand correctly, at night has tarantulas and scorpions and snakes that come out. Elijah, without a rooftop tent, goes and travels for an entire month and 10 days to meet with God. Silence and solitude. It is one of the greatest of Christian disciplines. If you want to be close to God, if you want to know yourself, that's what you need to do. And Elijah marches for 40 days by himself. He sees some of those beautiful desert sunrises, some of those beautiful desert sunsets. Maybe he sees some animals, some he likes, some he doesn't like. But for 40 days, Elijah, the prophet of God, the man who had just put to death 850 false prophets, the man who had called fire down from heaven, the man who had raised a dead person, this Elijah, such a great worker for God, has a timeout. And God says, a month and 10 days, just walk by yourself. And Elijah's not doing anything to distract himself from what he's really feeling. He has no distractions. He just walks with God. And we pick up again in verse 9, he finally has gotten to the mountain. The mountain of God, it's called. There, Elijah went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They have broken down your altar and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And now Elijah knows. He thought he came out there to die. Well, God says that we're past that. Why in the world are you here? And Elijah says it a second time. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Do you hear his words? Oh, I wish we had the time to really dig into this. Do you know what Elijah says? God says, okay, why are you here? And he says, number one, I have been a failure. I was really zealous for you, God. I really tried to reach your people, but your people didn't come to you. No one's worshiping you. I am the only prophet left alive. They've been putting all the prophets to death. I am a failure, God. And then he says, maybe the bigger one, I don't know. He says, I am the only one left. Why is Elijah there? He thought he was there because he was afraid. He thought he was there because, well, he just didn't live up to his ancestors. He thought he was there because he wanted to die. And after 40 days of just being silent, not talking to anybody, just listening to his own heart and his God, he finally can come before God with a true prayer that God can answer. God, I am a failure, and I am so lonely. That's an honest prayer. That's a prayer that God can answer. And God does answer it. First he says, this is not in order, but if you'll read 1 Kings 19, we don't have time to read all the rest of it. I love this story. What God says to him is, you are not a failure. You don't see what I've been doing. I want you to know I have 7,000 people who still bow the knee to me. And we understand that to be a Jewish number. That number meant a lot to them. That was the number 7 times 1,000. So it is the number of completeness. God may be saying, I have literally 7,000 people. I counted them. But that's probably not what God is saying. What God is saying is, my people, my sheep, have heard you, Elijah. And my people, my sheep, are still in my fold. All of them. Not one lost. The number of my people is absolutely complete. And God says, just to prove to you how happy I am about your ministry, let me give you a couple of things to do. And he gives them to him. Gives him a new ministry, a new mission. And sends him to a man named Elisha. And he says, I want you to take Elisha and anoint him and make him your friend. He doesn't use the term friend, but that's what he's doing. And if you remember the story of when Elisha and Elijah met on the day that Elijah was going to die, do you remember the story? The word had somehow gotten out to all of the prophets. And Elijah says to Elisha, I need you to leave. I need you to go home. I'm about to meet God. And Elisha says, I'm not leaving. They travel on a little bit further. And Elijah says to Elisha, go home. Go away. Go back to your family. Go where you need to be. And Elisha said, I'm not going to leave you. And Elijah finally says, is there something I can do for you, Elisha? And Elisha says, yeah, I want twice your spirit. And what happens? Elijah says, you know, if you're still around me when God takes me to heaven, you'll get twice my spirit. And when Elijah goes to heaven on the chariot of fire, who's standing right there watching the whole thing? His good friend, who would not abandon him under any circumstances, Elisha. I want to just take this time to encourage you to have solitude and silence so that you can really know what's going on in your heart, so that you can really pray to God an honest complete prayer of what's going on, and God honors those prayers. He did it for Elijah. Elijah, you're not a failure. I'm still got my people, and you need a friend. And I'm sending you to this guy, Elisha, who will be your friend for the rest of your life on this earth and never abandon you and never say goodbye. So, the Reds are no longer in the river. A lot of our guests are no longer in our house. Fred Meyer is getting to be a place you can shop in again. And wouldn't this be a perfect time before winter comes to simply find some solitude and some quiet, to know yourself and to know your God? Let's take advantage of that.